Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Father's Day Sunday, Open Line Sunday. It's 6:03 in the Bayou City. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Austin Mendez.
All right, man. Here we go. Hour number three. Like, man, time's flying today.
I was going to say, it flew by today.
Good topics. You know, I love talking about speckled trout, and, you know, I love all fish. I love fishing for bass and redfish, but trout is dear to my heart. It is. And, you know, I learned it from my dad and my mom. They were both accomplished trout fishermen, and I can remember all the days of growing up down in on the west end of Galveston. We fished a lot down there and, you know, waded the surf in West Bay and did all that. Just couldn't wait to, I guess that's why I grew so tall. I wanted to get tall quick enough so I could follow those old pros around and be able to junk lures with them and do their thing.
Maybe but that's what I should have did then, because I didn't grow too much.
You got a little bit challenged in that department.
Yes, sir.
Oh, well. But there's a lot of weather up above us, up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Some pretty good storms up there and on up in clear to Springfield, Missouri, and through Oklahoma, parts of it, Arkansas. A few showers in our area coming in off the Gulf, down around Bay City, Port O'Connor area, and then a few little light ones in Galveston crossing the island right now, and then some up our way. So nothing inside the loop or anything, but there's a few out there. They are throwing in a 60% chance today. Phone lines are available. Winds are still up. Galveston Fishing Pier, it's still 23 miles per hour there, 21 at the North Jetty over at Crab Lake and Bolivar. It is 22, 19 at Eagle Point. So still got a little wind to deal with out there this morning with a few showers in the area. So, all right, well, let's get back to our call lines. And who's up next here? We have John is up next on the Outdoor Show. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, Kev. Mickey, how you doing?
I'm good, sir. Thanks for asking. All Happy right. Father's Day.
Same to you. I went fishing with Cliff Monday last week. My son-in-law again.
Yeah, Cliff Webb.
Within about the last 6 months, he's taken me fishing with Webb and stuff, and both trips were, you know, really good. Monday we did good. Come home with a bag of fillets and stuff like that and everything. But I want to talk about the beach a little bit, because that's basically what I am, is a beach fisherman.
Right.
I've been fishing pens since, oh, I remember going down there before it was pens with my daddy and some of his friends when I was, you know, 11, 12 years old. But I went Thursday down the beach. The weather was fantastic. The water was clear. I mean, the light winds and stuff. And I waited out there, Mick, and I couldn't get them trout to hit. I could get them to follow my bait up from about 10 yards in front of me. And I think this is the first time this has ever happened to me, but they would not take a bait. And I threw everything but the entire tackle box out.
Even the kitchen sink, huh?
Yeah, man, I mean, mirror lures and everything.
I know, that's aggravating, isn't it? And you know they're there. They're following your bait in. Slicks are popping, mullet everywhere.
Yeah.
I know, it's so aggravating. It is.
You know.
It's a timing thing. You know, we go through that in the bay, too, you know, and I'll get customers going, man, why are we still waiting here? I said, because the fish are here. I said, if y'all want to leave, we'll go try something else. But I'm telling you, I know what's here, and it's just not time yet. They hadn't flipped the switch. And if you got all day to work it out, sometimes it'll come through for you. The guys I knew in the surf this week, their best fishing, everybody would give up and go in about 10:30, and from 11 o'clock till noon, they just burn them down. And then they even had a late evening bite in the surf, too.
Yeah, I heard about that. But I went all 60 miles all the way down to Mansfield, you know, and I would pull up about every 5 or 10 miles
Padre Island, you know, National Seashore.
Yeah,
what an awesome place.
You know, and it's about a 60-mile trip from the pavement.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I got that. And I, like I said, I threw everything at them things. And every stop I made, the water was perfect, looked good. I mean, maybe it was just too clear. I don't know.
You know, and that happens in the surf a lot. You look at all the guys with plugs that caught them good up here in Galveston this week. Our surf wasn't prime conditions, you know, where you can read the newspaper on the bottom and all that. It was sandy green. You know, it was fishable.
Yeah.
And
They
burned them down. And I noticed that when I fished it a lot back when I was younger. I would fish a surf a lot with my dad and everybody. And when that water, the first day it was real air clear, you'd catch them good. But then after that, if it stayed clear all week, the live baiters tore us up. We'd catch one to their 20. And that's kind of the way it works.
Yeah. I did not throw any live bait whatsoever, you know.
Yeah.
Cliff had given me, on our first trip I went earlier in the year with him, he gave me a mirror lure that he said, you know, was good in the surf. And the first time I used it going down there, I did do good on it. But I threw that thing for about 2 hours. Thursday, and never could get anything to hit. They'd follow it in.
Follow up. But, boy, doesn't that aggravate you. Golly.
It does. It's frustrating. Anyway.
You do is laugh, but hey, you were living, you were fishing, man. That's all that matters. You're fishing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I just checked the weather after I heard you guys talking earlier this morning. I pulled it up, and the wind's going to be blowing on the beach, you know. I think the calmest it's going to get maybe next Friday is about 16 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's going to blow all week the way it looks with all that, with the low pressure around us, and then you got all that low pressure up north sucking this Gulf moisture and fueling off of it. It's going to be looks like a windy week ahead of us.
Yeah, and it's rough. I got one of my buddies, his daughter's coming in from Colorado, and he'll be in this week, or starting Thursday, in fact, again, and we had planned on going, but I have to call him today and say, you know, we might as well forget fishing that beach because it's the wind up like that and stuff. The water's not going to be there.
Yeah, time you for know, plan B. You bet.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, hey, I really enjoy y'all's show, Mickey. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, John.
And you tell Cliff, keep up the beach reports, man, because I love that.
Man. Hey, one thing about him, we covered all with that guy. I've known Cliff for years, and he's just a great guy, man. I tell you, he's one of a kind, and he knows his business. He's quite an accomplished fisherman, and he knows a lot.
He's hilarious sometimes. He can be
and
hilarious.
He is funny. He's fun to be around. There's never a dull moment. There's always something happening.
just the boat rides and the stories is worth the trip.
You got that right.
This just popped in my head. Y'all were talking earlier, and you're talking about there just ain't fish like it used to be. There's a pier down here on Nueces Bay called Indian Point, right on the north side of the entrance.
I know where you're at. You bet.
And I'm a retired cop. We used to get off on Thursday nights back in the 70s. Worked a split shift because I was a rookie, so you had split days off. That's what we called it, you know. But we used to get off Thursday night at 11 o'clock and didn't have to be back to work until Saturday night at 10 o'clock. Well, we used to go to that pier there in Indian Point and fish under the lights. And I remember one time, me and a buddy of mine, another officer, we fished there from about 1 o'clock in the morning to about 4 in the morning. And our stringer was so full of trout. And when we went to pull it up on the pier, it broke. And I know we had, you know, just the two of us had well at 100 fish. But, you know, there was no limit back then. And we were young and foolish. But definitely don't do that anymore.
Well, it's because of guys like you and myself and everybody else is the reason we have limits now.
Yeah. But anyway, and that's a good thing, too, because I want my grandchildren.
Well, I mean, we've got to preserve the resource. And back in the day, people just don't realize how many fish there were. Things were different. Yeah. You know, it's like Galveston Bay. It's not that, you know, the fishermen are contributing to the over-harvest of the resource. They do somewhat in some ways, you know, in stack-ups and things. But, you know, when you lose two-thirds of your habitat due to high salinity levels and then too fresh of conditions, you take that away. I mean, you take a lot of nutrients out of the bay, filtering, you know, people don't realize how much your clam structure and your oyster structure filters the water, creates bait, creates just an unbelievable habitat. And when you take two-thirds of that away, fish have no reason to live here or reproduce here. And, you know, that's the biggest part of it, Mother Nature. And in us as a fisherman, we're the second phase of it. So we've all got to come together and work together to preserve the resource, get it back like it was, where future generations can enjoy all of it.
It's exactly right.
I hope I live long enough to one day come back like it was, so the younger people can really experience some of the things that I've seen that they don't believe you when you tell them about it. Even if you show them pictures of it, they don't believe it. But
biggest trout I ever caught, Mickey, was 9/11. I cannot hit that 10.
Well, you know, I mean,
that's the biggest one. I caught that one out of the surf. And now that one I did catch on live bait, caught him on the big one. But, and that's way back when. That's,
you know how many people have never even caught a legitimate 9? I mean, that's still that's a monster trout. I mean, you're crowding 10
pounds. Oh, it is.
It's like open range hunting, low fence hunting. Killing a book deer is a big deal, just like catching a 10-pound trout. It's just, they're, you hear about it, you know how fishing talk is, but it's not it's not a common thing to happen. That's a fact.
Not at all.
I mean, look at the Starboard every year. You got all these tens of thousands of people fishing in one tournament and fishing for big speckled trout, and you just, look at the results. They got over 90 days to catch a big fish, and they can't even do that in the prime of the season. You know,
10-pounders
are not cheap.
There's a lot of people trying for that fish.
You got that right. All right, John, happy Father's Day.
I am back at you and all those other sickos out there. Okay.
Thank you, sir. You have a good one.
Uh-huh.
All right. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show at 619 in the Bayou City. Quite breezy. Few showers in the area, so make the most of it. Doesn't matter to me. It's Father's Day. That's all that matters. And happy Father's Day to everybody out there. And, you know, not to get too sentimental and choked up on the radio or anything, this will be my second Father's Day without my dad. It's just different. I don't know how else to explain it. And my good friends up there at Skeeter's Auto Service, this is our first Father's Day without old Skeeter. He was almost like a dad to me, a very good friend and one of the finest gentlemen you'll ever meet. So condolences to the Lothringer family going through their first Father's Day without old Skeeter. And I know there's a lot of people that are going through the same hard times, and we'll get through it. Just remember the good stuff. That's all you got to do. And that's all I remember about my dad, was all the great things he did for our entire family growing up. He worked hard. He was an honest man, and he taught us a lot of valuable lessons and taught me how to fish. And that means a lot to me. And the great friendship we had, not only as a dad, but he was like a friend to me also. And that's special. All right, let's get to our phone lines. We have some available, by the way, if you'd like to call in and tell a real nice story about your dad or any kind of experience you had with him or how you miss him or whatever. Hey, the lines are open for it. Give us a call up here at 713-572-4610. Austin will get you hooked up, and we'll get you on the air. All right, next up is Guitar Dave up on the north side. Oh, Guitar Dave, what's up, Dave? How are you?
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, sir. What's
Man,
up?
Man, I tell you, you couldn't have said anything better like what you just said. You know, my dad, he passed away right after you came in up here. That's 11 years ago, I believe.
Be 12 years in October I've been here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah. Yeah, right around that time, man. Wow. Now, and the police officer, John, he probably knew my Uncle Ed Dushinsky. He was in homicide 30 years, and then my Uncle Raymond Prazak, he run up and down North Shepherd, pulling all my buddies over, giving them speeding tickets, you know, back in the 70s. On the Father's Day deal, I did kind of like a Father's Day thing. Friday, I went and had a colonoscopy. And, I was really scared about doing it, Captain. But
to do with Father's Day?
I'm trying to tell you, because, like, it kind of, you know, to keep you, it's like a public service announcement to, like, you know, hey, go get checked out. You know what I mean? So that way, if they catch anything, before. But
Roto
they said, "Don't
Rooter,
call."
That's the name.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. What I'm trying to say is, they told me after it was over with, "We'll call. Don't call us. We'll call you." So that's a good deal. But I was so scared to get in there. But the charge nurse, her son, he graduated from St. Pius in 2013. So we're sitting there talking, and I'm talking about fishing and this and that. And here comes two of the doctors in, two of the anesthesiologists, and they're like, "What do y'all?" I said, "Oh yeah, man, I like to fish a lot. Hey, you know any good charters down in Galveston?" I'm like, "Call Captain Mickey Eastman on the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show." They all got their phones out, man. Now this is when I'm signing paper. Yeah, and they started typing everything in on you. And then, you know, about 30 minutes later, they rolled me into the operating room. I'm laying in there, and my main doctor, he walks into the room. He says, "Okay, crew, today we're going to be working on Guitar Dave." And he started introducing me around to everybody in the room, and they're hooking me up on the IV. And I said, "Okay." And they said, "We're going to give you a cocktail." I said, "Okay, before you do that, I'm going to be fishing on the far end of Lake Conroe in the jungle, and I'm going to catch a 13-pound lunker." And that's the last thing I remember until I woke up. And then when I woke up, the same doctor that walked in and said, "We're going to be working on them," he woke me up. I said, "Man, I think I caught them all, man." And like, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad of a procedure. So, but anyway, they all knew you, and they may be listening right now. I told them, "Listen on the podcast, man, because they want to figure out where to go and what to throw." I said, "Cap Mickey and the boys, they're the guys that can tell you how to do it, man."
Well, we can sometimes. We're not good all the time, but most of the time we are. So, but I appreciate you giving my number. If they go with me, I hope they don't want to perform a colonoscopy on me out there in the boat, man. That's
I hear you. Hey, but no, I'm serious. There was four of them in there, and they all pulled their phones out and started typing down the, you know, times that you were on, and they were dictating everything that they were taking notes. So. Hey, and you may have a couple of nurses calling you, too. I'm serious.
Okay,
some
well,
of them,
good.
Yeah, some of them, they were like, "You know, I haven't been fishing in a long time." And I said, "Well, turn it on Sports Radio 610, listen to Captain Mickey Eastman, man." So, hey, well, let me get out of here. I got to get out of here and clean up. I got to clean up the world one bucket at a time in this parking lot. Hey, and it's light outside, so I can wash
That's
my back
it.
On the north side, brother.
All right. Keep it good.
Right,
keep it going on the north side, Dave. See you, man. Take care. All right, later. All right, let's get to some more phone calls here next. Who's up next here? Randy. He's an early morning sicko. Let's go to him. Randy, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
I listen to y'all every chance I get. in fact, I'm going to go fishing Monday. And first time in years.
And well, good for you.
Down in Matagorda, you know, the guys tell me that they had a couple of bad days, and I've listened to y'all, too, about all the fresh water coming in down there, so.
Well, they don't get it as bad. It doesn't mess, you know, it flows into the Gulf instead of spreading through the bays, you know, like it does up here. So they've got it pretty good down there.
Well,
they've got a lot of fish. They've got a good fishery this year. They're catching some beautiful fish.
Well, he said the last couple of days, I talked to him yesterday, and he said the last couple of days he's had a little bit of rough time on it. But he fishes with those croaker, and I've never done it that way. So,
Well, you'll be in for a treat.
I don't even know how to fish with him, so he's going to show me. And anyway, but that's another deal. But as far as happy Father's Day to you, and happy
Thank
Father's
you.
Day to all the fathers. And
you too.
You can, if nothing else, is like that guy said, you can remember your father. And my father was a hard-working, but he used to take me fishing. He's the one that got me into fishing. We didn't have a lot of time to do it, but the main fish we did was either catfish or just ponds, so to speak.
Yeah, perch, jerkin, and all that, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, we'd go over there with a cane pole and catch a mess of, you know, them perch, and, you know, they're pretty good eating, too.
Yeah, they are. It's hard to beat them brim, man. That's
yeah.
That's a good quality table fare, and you know that's
good
what I can
worm,
say about my dad, John. He was very unselfish. He'd work his butt off all week, and you know he was in retail having to deal with the public and all that stressful stuff, and and running businesses. And but he always took out time on his weekends instead of being selfish and wanting to rest up. I know he was tired and exhausted, but hey, he always took us. If the weather was good, we always went camping or fishing. We did something outdoors. And he really helped me out a lot with my baseball. You know, he was a great baseball player when he was growing up, and he taught me a lot about the game and how to respect the game and how to play the game and play it right. And a lot of good memories from him. He was just a good man. If I couldn't have picked anybody better to have a father, you know, than him. He was just a good person.
You know, I got to take my dad hunting one time. I was on a lease out in Sonora, and I took him up there, and, you know, we were allowed 2 bucks on the place. And so, you know, we were sitting maybe about 200 yards away, and, of course, I had a 30-yard six, and you know, I just carried that gun for him. And sure enough, a buck come out there, and I said, well, there he is right there, Dad. And he had a hard time, you know, finding him. And then he sat there, and I found out later he started having, he's a welder all his life, and a good one. And so he couldn't afford a deer lease, even back in those days when it wasn't that bad. And well, after I got on the police department, you know, I got on one, and I took him out there. And, you know, he fooled around, and I found out that, you know, of course, growing up, you know, they killed deer just to eat.
Right.
And now he's been dead for 20 years, but I still miss him. And,
oh, no.
Anyway, and then I married into a family here. Well, I'm working on my 11th year married to her. And her dad, which reminded me so much of my dad. I mean, just a hard working. Now, he was retired, obviously, and he passed away 3 years ago. And, you know, that hurt right there because, you know, I mean, they took me in just like a son. And in fact, I called him, well, I always called him Malcolm. I mean, that's what he wanted to be called. And
right.
His wife is still alive. She's still doing pretty good. She's 81 now. And, was actually born in England, but, it, you know, I call her mom. I don't ever call her by her first name. And, you know, I actually lucked out, got married into a real, real good family.
You know, and I was fortunate that same way. My father-in-law, he was so much fun, man. I had some unbelievable fishing trips with him and hunting trips. I mean, everything. And, I guess, you know, maybe that's why me and my wife have been together for so long, because we just had two really great families, and now we don't have any parents left, but we hadn't forgotten the memories, man. That's all that matters.
Well, you know, my dad, you know, he came down and, but he was such a good welder that they wouldn't take him into service. They wanted him here.
They wanted him building ships, welding.
That's right. That's what he did, man. He worked on those high pressure tanks and stuff because he was that good, even back in those days. And but I mean, hours that man worked, it was just unbelievable.
It is. And you hear people, you know, whine and complain about how many hours they're working nowadays. They're working about half the schedule our fathers did.
Well, you know, the only thing that I have can relate to it, I used to put the hours in, especially 3 years I worked homicide for Houston.
Right.
That was back in I went down there the year that they had 762 killings, broke the record of the United States. Oh, it was something else. And, you know, of course, especially Austin Vol shootings, I mean, it wasn't nothing to work 24, 30 hours straight.
Golly.
But, you know, that ain't going out and climbing into a ditch, you know, welding all day long on that big pipe and stuff like that. That's, you know, I actually sat there and watched that man. And one of the reasons I was always so proud of him, when I was young, I'd go out on the pipeline right away during the summer. And I literally would sit there and watch him. He'd stop, three or four times a day when they'd take a break. And he'd open, you know, always wore cowboy boots. And, he'd sit there and pull his boots off, and then he'd have to wring his socks out.
Oh, yeah.
Pour the water out of the sweat out of his boots. And he'd let them sit there for a little while he was eating lunch. And then he'd have to do it again later on that afternoon. But he just wring his socks out, just laid them on top of his boots, let them dry out a little bit, and he went right back to work.
That generation was the backbone of this country, and no doubt about it.
Even up in his 70s, he just stayed with it. And, I mean, I could not be more proud of my dad than I am. That's the reason I still miss him. And I miss my father-in-law, too.
I understand. Anyway, well, Randy, I got to run. Thanks for sharing that with us.
I know you do. I just wanted to say that, you know, today is a real important day for fathers.
Special day. You bet you. You got it.
No doubt about it. All right, sir. Well, y'all have a wonderful day, and I enjoy y'all's show.
You bet you, man.
You too.
Later.
Mm-hmm.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, next up, when we come back from the break, we got Tex, we got Kayak Tom. You guys hang with me. I'll get to you eventually right after this commercial break.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show.
You know, the worst thing gets me is I'll go ahead and they won't be rigged right, and I'll go ahead and take all their jewelry off, all their snap swivels, and, you know, it's like Mr. T on the end of that rod.
If you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
Yeah, it's nature's nacho, buddy. Everybody likes quail.
God, nacho's nacho. Leslie T always makes a little sachet through there during the spring when the wildflowers in full bloom. And guess where she stops?
I'll tell you what. You know, I asked them twice about the Captain Mickey discount, and so you need to get on them about getting it.
Well, I don't think they've created one of those yet.
No.
But well, it does sound good when you tell them Captain Mickey.
Well, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Final segment already. I can't believe this Father's Day has gone by this quick. Man, I'm eager to get the day started. I may just have to go all the way through today, not even pop a nap. Just do it. Well, I might catch a few if the Astros game or the golf gets boring. But anyway, 6:39 here in the Bayou City on this Father's Day. Let's get to our phone lines. And let's go to Tex up on Lake Conroe. Hadn't heard from him in a while, and let's see what's up with him. Tex, happy Father's Day.
Hey, Captain Mickey, happy Father's Day to y'all. And hey, I figured I'd just get in here. We've been missing the phone calls here, everything, and figured I'd get my little 2 cents in there too today, Mickey.
Okay. your 2 cents is welcome, my friend.
Hey, buddy. We've been doing pretty good up here in Lake Conroe, Mickey. Billy had a two-man limit yesterday and, of catfish, and that's good for us, put it that way.
Yes,
I
sir.
I didn't have a limit out, but we had some little ones out and just had a great time catching some bream and some catfish, and it worked out real good. And we, outside of that, just the old bream, the old pitcher bream, we call it, and the catfish are doing pretty good. Just one day I'll be a hero, and the next day I'll be down about zero, you know. Just one of them things, you know.
Yes, sir.
But that's the way it goes. Shallow fishing's doing good on the catfish and bream, and then out deep about 18, 19, even 20 foot. Doing pretty good out there, some baited catfish holes out there, Mickey, and we're using shrimp and old Primo stink bait, and Billy's doing the same thing. I know he is. And outside of that, chicken liver will work, but I don't like chicken liver, and I don't use it unless I just have to.
I know.
But we got the youngsters and everything, and if we can make them bite with a certain bait, we'll sure use it. And the old green night crawler is still doing good too, Mickey, and that's kind of what we specialize in, is taking families out with kids and everything, and having a good time doing that. And outside of that, not a whole lot going on. I haven't heard of a great big bass, but the bass are biting baby bass crankbaits and Tennessee shed crankbaits. And you can get some little ones, and you know, the hatch is small right now, Mickey. I don't care if it's shed or bream or little catfish or whatever, and those fish are keying in, and right this time of year, a little small crankbait works real good early in the morning and late in the evening like that. Or if it gets cloudy during the day, well, they'll they'll zero in on it then. I hadn't seen or heard of too much spinnerbait fishing, but usually this time of year, spinnerbait fishing is fabulous along the shorelines because of the small fry, I guess you call it. And they'll bite these little lures like that. It just imitates the hatch this time of year, Mickey. And we may cancel out today, my friend. My guys are trying to get together now to decide if they're going to do it or not. And it's 60%, you know, today and tomorrow. And that weatherman, I've been ready to just take him out here and troll him for bait.
Bait a hole with him.
Yeah. Now, Mickey, from where
poor
I'm standing.
Poor weathermen,
is,
I'm telling you,
yes,
they
sir.
Catch it, don't they?
Oh, they do, man. And from where I'm standing up here at the parking lot on at April Plaza, I see mushroom clouds down toward Houston. There could be some rain around, and these guys were talking about they didn't want to be out in a thunderstorm, so they may cancel on me. But they'll reschedule, and we'll do it another time. But anyhow, that's about all we got going. I just wanted to check in with you guys and let you know I'm still alive and around, Mickey. We'll,
I know
I
you
know
are.
What
you
to do about the telephone, you know. John and Austin, call me, even the lady, and but it don't connect or something or other. So we'll get the bottom. If I had to go to Verizon and find out, we'll find out what's happening.
Well, we'll figure it out. We'll try calling you again this week and see if we can get through. But, hey, if we don't get through, call us, man.
Okay, we'll do.
Ted, you're always welcome on this show, buddy. You're a permanent
fixture, my friend.
Not a problem,
Mickey. I just decided to call in today. I heard Guitar Dave there before me, and boy, I had that crew out, and it took me this long to recover from that, Mickey.
I got you. I know. We're not getting any younger, man.
Yes, sir. Mickey, let y'all run. And
all right, buddy.
Appreciate it, and y'all have a good one, okay?
Happy
Father's Day. Happy
Father's Day. You bet you, man.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Tex Bonin weighing in. We've had a little bit of phone tag working all week, but I'm glad he finally got through. All right, let's see. We got Randy, and after him, Kayak Tom. Randy, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show. Happy Father's Day.
Oh, Happy Father's Day, Captain Mickey. I tell all my old-timer friends, man, on Sunday morning, before daylight, you're piddling around. Listen to old Captain Mickey. That's the best way to start the day. Man, I tell you, you know, things kind of go full circle. My son called me yesterday. He told me he's going to take me to see the largest saltwater animal in the world. And then I said, well, what is it? He said, he's going to take me to see the new Godzilla movie. So I said, well, I don't think I have a circle hook big enough for that cat. But anyway.
No, no line or circle hook will hang Godzilla.
Yes, sir.
Or hold him anyway.
I know it, man. Captain Mickey, your show just brings back so many memories, especially today on Father's Day. I appreciate it, man. My dad taught me how to shoot them wood ducks in that river bottom.
Oh, man.
And, man, listen, I just appreciate you, buddy, and y'all just have a blessed day.
You sound like the kind of guy that would stand next to a tree and shoot wood ducks, too. You sound the same way on air, bud.
Yes, sir, man. Have a blessed day, Captain Mickey.
Hey, thank you, sir, and you have a good one, too.
Yes, sir.
Take care. All right, see you. All right, that's Randy. All right, now let's go to Kayak Tom and see what's up with him this morning. Good morning, Tom. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Good morning, sir. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. You too.
I just want to tell you a story about my dad.
Okay.
He was down in Corpus back in the late 70s, going to Golden Kings in the 80s. And the biggest smile he got is when I was able to buy him a left-handed Zebco 808. Because he lost his thumb and his forefinger on his right hand in the World War II. So he couldn't fish but a regular reel. When I got him that left-handed 808, that Shakespeare rod, he could go down to the Corpus Christi seawall and throw out that lemon and catch a trout. Woo! He smiled like a kid.
Amazing. So your dad was in WW2, huh? Mine was too.
Yes, sir. And he was fishing down there. And my buddies over here with Andrew's mom, Mr. Katie, I walked in their shop and they got all these $5 expensive, really beautiful reels. And I asked him, you ever get an 808? And that's what my daddy likes. And I said, actually, we got a guy over here. That's what he fishes with.
A left-handed 808. Well, you know, I didn't even know they made one of those.
Yeah, it just had the little nut on the left side, the knurled nut.
Right.
You would just put the handle on the other side. It really wasn't a left hand. It worked for him. And even
well, yeah, you back, just changed sides with it, yeah.
Uh-huh. It just went over to the other side, and the little stainless steel shaft went from one side to the other.
Cool.
And he caught himself a 8-pound bass over in Lake Falcon one time with that reel. Boy, he just loved it.
8-pound bass on an 808. That's amazing. You know, I think that's what Tex, I don't know, he uses those 33s that he gives his customers and some 808s and stuff. But, you know, I had a, man, years ago, golly, I can't remember how long ago it was, I had a man and a woman show up and fish with me, and they had two, you know, expensive bait casting rods, but they had 808 Zebcos on them. And I checked, the first thing I did was check that line, see if it was going to be heavy and strong enough, and sure enough, it was. And we get out there and we get on a darndest school of fish in open water, catching big trout and big reds with them. And I think I had, back then I had them 3/4-ounce gold spoons on them. And they had a field day with those reels. And I can still remember that singing drag noise that 808 makes, just saying, you know, when it's going out. And they never lost a fish. They caught everything they hooked with those reels, and, I mean, caught some studs, man.
Yeah, it was amazing, because now, you know, I like a reel that's got a really smooth drag, and you catch a big girl, and she hauls butt on you. You want to, you know, let her take the line. But that's what I remember, too. Daddy catch a decent fish, and that drag, I would always worry about it, because it was...
Yep. Yeah, it had that jerky old nasty sounding drag on it, but everybody caught fish with them, and we've come a long ways. You know, with equipment and everything else, it's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a thing that we don't think about it, so that was down
but
there.
You know, even our bait casters back then, they had those old dry, jerky drags on them, and you'd do all that drag washer, and, you know, they improved all that. They came out with the Teflons and all those different washers now that are so much smoother. It just, I remember back in the day that some of those drags would get so bad and so dry and jerky and noisy, you'd hook a big trout while you're wade fishing and you'd be fighting that fish in, and you're just praying that he doesn't rip the hooks, because you know how it would tighten up and you'd think, well, the line's going to break or I'm going to straighten the hook out. And when you get them up close to you and they were still pretty green, I'd always just push the button in and thumb them, use my thumb up close. To keep from, because we didn't have these good rods like we have now that are forgiving, you know. And you know, back then we're pretty much fishing with hoe handles and broomsticks, is what we called them, compared to nowadays. And but yeah, we have come a long way. That's cool about your dad. Is your dad no longer with us?
Oh yeah, he left 22 years ago.
Okay, well, sorry to hear that. Mine made it a long time. It for everything he went through in his life. Good Lord, I can't believe he lived such a long, good, quality life, you know.
Well, you know, we talk about these weathermen, right, and what they tell us about the rain and such. We grew up in South Texas, Starr County, and you know, every bit of rain was welcome. And so if they told you it was going to rain, it better, or they could beat them up.
Anyway. I'm telling you.
Up here in Katy, you know, up there at the store, and somebody comes in and it's 90 degrees and says, oh, it's so hot. I said, this has been hot. Shoot, you should have been in Stark County back then when it was 105 and I was chasing cows because we didn't have a cow dog. I was the cow dog.
You were the dog, huh?
Daddy dragged the truck off the horn, you know, take the bag, and then he had the AC on with the window open, and I have to run down the other side of the pasture and move the cows.
Amazing.
It is hot
down there. South Texas people... They've never been there in the summertime. Go down there and spend you about 2 weeks down there. You'll be begging to come back to Houston.
And then I got a good one. One of my secretaries come in. She's like 22. And she says, oh, yeah, it's really too hot. I said, really? I said, you got a boyfriend? She goes, yeah. I said, do you hug him sometimes? Yeah. I said, do you know he's 98.6 degrees and that don't bother you? Come on.
That's right. Yeah, it gets hot in South Texas. Hell, it gets hot down there in the wintertime. I mean, you get up and go deer hunting, got a light jacket on and everything. It'll be nice and cool in the mornings, and by noon, yeah, it's summertime. You can get winter and summer in one day in South Texas, no problem.
Sure can. Well, thank you for taking taking my call. Appreciate
hey, you bet. You have a happy Father's Day. Good to hear from you, Tom.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. See you, man. All right. I think I'm caught up. Let's see. Let me check my board again and see if I've got any new callers. No, that's it. I've got about 3 minutes left. Somebody wants to get a quick call in before we go off air. But happy Father's Day, 713-572-4610. You know, getting back to my dad, you know, living 92 years like he did. He almost made it to his 93rd birthday. He died on June 22nd, 2 years ago. And his birthday is July 22nd, so he almost made it to his 93rd. But he had a tough life, man. They grew up, they were cotton farmers, and I think when he was 8 years old, he got typhoid fever, and they wrote him off for dead. And he made it through that, and then made it through World War II. I also heard all the stories about that, and stick around that long after being through so much all your life, that's a pretty good accomplishment in my books. I look up to him for that anyway. He was a fighter, no doubt about it. I was with him every day the last 2 years of his life, and he wouldn't give up. A lot of people would have had, but I hope I can stick it out like he did. He was something else, man. But well, it's been a good show today. I enjoyed all the calls from everybody, and, you know, make the most of the day with your kids today. And if, you know, a grandfather or, you know, just a regular father or whatever, just make the most of it with the time you have with your family, because you can't get it back once it's gone. Enjoy every moment and try to make them positive moments. It's life's too short to you know, to be adverse with things. Just if you got problems, hey, today might be a good day. If you hadn't talked to your dad in a while or your son in a while, hey, smooth things out. It's Father's Day. Let's get it. Clear the air. Life is short. Well, folks, time is short. I can't believe today's show's over already. And Austin, great job as always, and look forward to working with you next week. And everybody have a safe, productive holiday today, and make the most of it. Thanks for listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be back next Thursday morning at 4 a.m. bright and early right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.